Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Living Word, you still have many things to say to us. Speak, and we will listen. By your word, may the Spirit guide us into all truth, that our lives may glorify you. Amen. The scripture that we are going to hear today is from the Book of Psalms, the prayer and hymnal of the Jewish people. This is one of the great nature psalms. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are humans that you are mindful of them and mortals that you care for them? And yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the fields, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Do any of you get the paper? Any of you subscribe to the paper? My children get it online, but I am old-fashioned, and I like one I can hold in my hand, and I like to take scissors and snip out things that I want to save or maybe read again later. So even if I am busy and I don't have time to read the whole thing, there are two parts of the paper I always read. One is the comics, and the other is Dear Abby. This past Friday, there was a little letter that was written to Dear Abby that I thought I wanted to share with you today. I'm just going to read just part of it. We were a couple in our 70s together for 21 years before my husband Charles died of COPD 3 weeks ago. For more than 4 years, I watched his health and the quality of life decline until finally he had had enough and chose hospice. In less than 24 hours, he was gone. He chose his way out, and for his sake, I'm thankful. But the pain I'm feeling is incredible. During that time, I had expected to lean on our precious dog for comfort. But now he also will be taken from me. The vet just diagnosed him with liver cancer, and he has maybe 4 months to live. I'm numb, and I feel like a stranger in my own body. I read this to you because it's about loss and grief, and it's about two deaths that occurred almost back to back, and they are in the family, all of them. In the family. Now, in the scripture that we just heard from Psalm 8, you noted that in the created order fashioned by God, we are given dominion over the creation. What does that mean? There's some people who interpret that, even as a theological issue, interpret it as meaning that God just simply turned the whole thing over to us and that we can do with it as we like. I don't understand it that way. I think that dominion means stewardship, caretaking. Listen to this this verse from Genesis 2, verse 15. The Lord God put the man in the Garden of Eden to take care of it and to look after it, to take care of it, to look after it. See, again, stewardship, caretakers. And we are entrusted by God as partners in creation. So, does it matter if we recycle? Does it matter if we take care of our water and our soil? Does it make any difference if we treat creatures, other creatures, with respect? I believe that it's God's will that we take care of and respect all of that with which God has entrusted us. You may know that the first images of humans who were involved in art were images of animals. And you may be familiar with the famous prehistoric cave paintings in France. There are over 600 of them, and they are estimated by scientists to be about 17,000 years old. The connection between humans and animals was recognized by our prehistoric ancestors. And many of us, if not most of us, also, there's something in us that recognizes that connection, even if we don't verbalize it. There are many nursing homes that add resident pets to their staff. Studies have shown that caring for a pet, or even just seeing a pet or touching it, that it somehow lowers the heart rate, that it elevates the spirit, that it creates a sense of calm and well-being for us. Mahatma Gandhi once said that the character of a nation, its moral progress, could be measured by the way that it treated its most vulnerable citizens, people and animals. Incidentally, Gandhi, you may know, was a lifelong Hindu, but he was a great admirer of Jesus Christ. And he one time was purported to have said, "You know, I could almost be persuaded to follow Jesus if it were not for the behavior of the Christians." Ouch. Pope Francis, who is the pontiff of the Roman Catholic Church right now, has said, all creatures are from God's hand and are part of the creation. Francis says we are responsible for the whole of God's good creation, and we will be held accountable for our stewardship. Scientists have proved that we live longer and healthier when we are in relationship with the created world. One time, some years ago, I was presiding over a blessing of the animals, and a woman came. She was not from our congregation. She was from the neighborhood, and she had brought her dog with her to be blessed. And afterwards, she came up to me, and she said, "I just want you to know that this dog saved my life." And have you seen a bumper sticker that says, "Who rescued who?" Well, yesterday was Earth Day. Earth Day is always held on the 22nd of April, and it happened to come on Saturday this year. Earth Day was, the first Earth Day was held in 1970. There are now 193 nations that observe Earth Day in one form or another. The theme for Earth Day 2023 is invest in our planet. Invest in our planet. I hope someday that Rock Lake may also sponsor a blessing of animals, not just for ourselves, but also for our neighborhood, for people around us. Oftentimes, a blessing of the animals will occur in April, closest to Earth Day. More commonly, it's held in October, usually the first weekend in October, which is closest to the birthday of St. Francis of Assisi. Francis of Assisi was born in 1181. He was born in Italy. He was born into a wealthy family, but he felt that God was calling him to renounce wealth and position and privilege, and for the rest of his life, he spent his life as a monk. He's the patron saint, incidentally, of the environment and of animals. There are many stories of St. Francis interacting with animals. One was of a village that was being terrorized by a ferocious wolf, and they asked Francis to intervene for them. And Francis went out to meet the wolf, and the wolf came up to Francis and laid down at his feet. I don't know if that's apocryphal or if it's true, but it's a great story, isn't it? He was also noted for preaching to the birds. And Francis said that all of us ought to preach all the time. And he said, if necessary, use words. There's a little story I want to share with you. The author of this story is unknown, but it was found in a book called Paul Prince and Purrs, Animal Poems and Stories. And it goes like this. The author has written it in the style of Scripture. And here's what the author says. It is reported that the following edition of the book of Genesis was discovered in the Dead Seal Scrolls. If authentic, it would shed light on the question, where do pets come from? And Adam said, Lord, when I was in the garden, you walked with me every day, and now I don't see you anymore, and I am lonesome here, and it's hard for me to remember how much you love me. And God said, no problem. I will create a companion for you that will be with you forever and who will be a reflection of my love for you so that you will know I love you even if you do not see me. And regardless of how selfish and childish and unlovable you may be, this companion will accept you as you are and will love you as I do in spite of yourself. And so God created a new animal to be a companion for Adam, and it was a good animal. And God was pleased, and the new animal was pleased to be with Adam and wagged his tail. And Adam said, but Lord, I have already named all the other animals, and I do not have a good name for this new dog, for this new animal. And God said, no problem. Because I have created this animal as a reflection of my love for you, his name will be a reflection of my own name spelled backwards. And you will call him Dog. And Dog lived with Adam and was a companion to him and loved him. And Adam was comforted. And God was pleased. And the dog was content and wagged his tail. After a while, it came to pass that Adam's guardian angels came to the Lord and said, Lord, Adam has become filled with pride. He preens like a peacock, and he believes that he is worthy of adoration. Dog has indeed taught him that he is loved, but nobody has taught him humility. And the Lord said, no problem. I will create for him a companion who will be with him forever, who will see him as he is. And this companion will remind him of his limitations, and he will know that he is not worthy of adoration. And God created Cat to be a companion to Adam. And Cat would not obey Adam. And when Adam gazed into Cat's eyes, he was reminded that he was not the supreme being. And Adam learned humility. And God was pleased. And Adam was much improved. And Cat did not care one way or the other. There is something unique about the relationship between human beings and our animal companions. Archaeological digs at ancient campsites have found evidence that dogs and humans shared campfire and large bones together. And some of the earliest burial sites ever unearthed have found human bones and canine bones intermingled. In other words, the dogs were buried with their masters. There is a grave in northern Israel, which is believed to be around 10,000 years old. It's the grave of a woman. And her arm is outstretched, and it's lying on the skeleton of a dog. There are countless stories, service dogs helping vets to heal, others who are the invaluable assistants to those who are disabled in body or mind. A congregation that I served at one time served once a month a lunch to anybody in the neighborhood who wanted to come. It was my custom to kind of walk around and chat up the guests who came to lunch and so forth. One time I sat down next to a woman who was sad, and she said, at the height of my saddest time, my worst time, my cat sensed my sadness and jumped up beside me and put his paw on my hand, and I was comforted. Well, the Bible is full of references to animals Here are just a few. Isaiah says that they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. In another place, the prophet Isaiah has an image of the peaceable kingdom, what it will be like when the kingdom of God is in its final form and all of creation will be reconciled to each other. And one of the lines in this image that Isaiah gives us says, the wolf will lie down with the lamb. And that will be a sign of the kingdom. Job 12, verse 10 says, it is God in whose hand is the soul of every living thing. At Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And as he prepared on Palm Sunday to enter into the city of Jerusalem, he pauses on his way and looks over Jerusalem and he weeps and he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you unto myself like a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. Psalm 36, verse 6 says, and in describing God, says, your decisions are always fair. They are firm like the mountain. They are deep like the sea. All people and all animals are under your care. Revelation 5:13 says this, then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Now, note in this case, it's just not the people who are singing, it's the whole creation. Can it be that those of us who have been privileged to love an animal can see in that beloved creature a small reflection of the image of God, of what God is like? Think about the unconditional love, the endless forgiveness, an image of what God is like. Now, I have to tell you that I own a T-shirt that says, be careful, you may end up in my sermon. Now, I have asked Sandy's permission today to mention her in a sermon, and she has graciously granted me that. This is a story about Wolfgang and Sandy and me. When Wolfgang comes to the church, sometimes we will go into the office and stay a while with Sandy, and it's Wolfgang's custom to lie down and to take note of what's going on and sometimes to doze a little bit. Well, we were all three in the office some time ago, and she suddenly leaped up and started barking furiously and rushed out the office to the double glass doors on the side of the church. And there stood a man who had come to ask for a bus pass. Well, Sandy got the bus pass, and she came and she cracked the door a little bit and gave him the bus pass. And the man was not about to get any closer and confront 18 pounds of canine fury. And once he retreated and the door was closed, Wolfgang turned around and trotted back into the office. Mission accomplished, job well done. Now, what was going on in her little doggy brain? I really don't know for sure. She has declined to discuss it with me. But I believe that there was something about the appearance of somebody she didn't know, or maybe the knock, I don't know. But she somehow perceived that there was danger involved, and she was protecting the church, Sandy, me, I don't know for sure. But she was in a posture of protection. Well, God is also our protector. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 28, God says, I will rise up and help you and be your protector. Pets are our constant companions. Have you ever had a dog or a cat that followed you from room to room as you moved around the house? I had a rabbit like that one time. This was a little dwarf rabbit, and he spent most of his life in his, I told him it was his apartment. It was really a kennel. But when I would take him out of that and put him on the floor, he would follow me around wherever I went, a constant companion. And God has promised to be our constant companion. God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's in Hebrews 13. And Jesus, in Matthew 28, says, I am with you to the close of the age. Pets embody God's comfort. In Isaiah 13, verse 19, it says, for the Lord comforts his people. Do you remember the Pulse nightclub in Orlando in 2017? There were 49 people who were killed by a shooter. The Lutheran Church sent in to that community comfort dogs, dogs that had been specially trained to comfort people in disaster situations, sent them in to comfort those who were either survivors or their families or people who were somehow involved with that tragedy. Comfort dogs. Another time in another era for us, I served a church where we had a beloved older parishioner. Her name was Pauline. Pauline loved everybody, and everybody loved Pauline. She ended her days at Hospice House, the one up on the hill across from Job Corps. And we had actually, Wolfgang and I had actually visited Pauline in her house several times, and she loved Wolfgang, and Wolfgang loved her. She would like to have had a dog, but her family deemed that it was not safe for her because she was very unsteady on her feet. So she ended up in Hospice House, and Wolfgang and I went up to see her several times, and Pauline would always ask that I pick her up and put her in bed with her. You know, you can do things in hospice that you can't do in a regular hospital. So I would put Wolfgang up there, and she would snuggle in with Pauline, and it just made Pauline so happy. And whenever anybody would pass by her room, she would call them in. She'd say, come in here and meet my pastor and meet Wolfgang. Well, we did that several times, and the last time we went, Pauline was just a couple of days from her own physical death, and by all visible signs, she was no longer responsive. But nevertheless, I did put the dog up in the bed with her, and I do not know this, but I believe on some level that Pauline knew that that little companion was there. We believe that pets teach us about God's unimaginable love for us. We can't even understand it. But Jesus tried to tell us about it. In Luke 15, there are three stories about the unconditional love of God. The first is the story of the good shepherd who goes out into the dark and the rain and the danger to find that one last sheep and will not come back until he has found it and brought it back into the fold. The second is about the woman who loses the coin, and she turns that house upside down until she finds that lost thing. The last is the story of the prodigal son, probably the one that we're most familiar with. You remember that story well, how that rotten younger son takes his inheritance, takes his father's money and goes and squanders it, and then comes back makes his way back home, hoping that his father will just put him on the staff as a servant. But the father will have none of that. He loves that boy right back into the family. So you see, each of those stories ends with recovery and rejoicing. And we think that that is a sign of how, when our pets love us in that way, that it's a sign, just a little glimmer of the way that God loves us. Pets are a sign of the kingdom. What will the final realized kingdom of God look like? Well, we don't know all the details that we would like, but Romans 8, verse 35 to 40 says this, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor anything else in all creation will ever separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's the one thing in human life that is truly immortal, and that is the love of God through Jesus Christ. Our pets remind us of the deep, unconditional, forgiving, constant love of God. You have your stories too, and I have heard some of them. I know that you have many more that I haven't heard yet. But the only thing about pets is they do not live long enough. We are likely to lose them through death, even as we will lose each other through death. And if we didn't love each other, it would not matter if we were separated by death. If we didn't love our pets, it wouldn't matter if they died. It's the price of learning to love each other and our animal companions as well. Our faith teaches us that we can pin our hopes on the promise of a life beyond this life for those that we love. And that is the message of Easter. And we are in the Easter season right now. Life beyond this human life has been prepared for us and for those that we love. What happens when a beloved animal dies? Do any of you remember Alice Faye Bragg? Anybody remember that name? Alice Faye Bragg was an older woman who lived in Clay County on a small family farm. And for years, she wrote a column for the Charleston Gazette. Alice Faye Bragg's columns were not about politics or how to improve your life. Her columns were about what it was like to live on a small family farm in rural West Virginia, and also memories of what it was like when she was growing up. She had a large, faithful readership, and I was one of them. My favorite, a recipe for mushroom soup, was one that I clipped out of Alice Faye's column. Because she lived on a farm, of course, she had lots of contact with animals and things that are part of farm life, but she also always had a dog. Through the many years that she wrote this column, of course, those dogs would come and go and die. And when they would die, Alice Faye would grieve, and we who were her readers would grieve right along with her. One time, as she wrote about after a beloved dog had died, she asked her husband, she said, "Do you think he had a soul?" And the husband said, "No, animals don't have souls, only people have souls." And Alice Faye said, "Well, I believe he had a soul." So the scriptures tell us, the first letter of John, chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, for God is love." The scriptures do not say that God has love, but rather that God is love. It is his nature to love, and he loves all of his creation and all of the creatures, all of the creatures in the creation, because that's what God does. That's who God is. And God loves all of his creation for all of eternity. The Bible says that the whole creation will be redeemed and restored. It doesn't say just the people. It says the whole creation. So, will there be cold noses at the pearly gates? Will those beloved animal companions greet us at the door of heaven the way that they greet us when we come home at the end of the day? I'm counting on it. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, our human ties with our friends of other species is a wonderful and special gift from you. Your goodness is turned upon every living thing, and your grace flows through all your creatures. Grant to our special animal companions long and healthy lives. Give them good relationships with us and with each other. And when it comes time for them to be taken from us, help us to understand that they are not gone from us, but they are only drawing closer to you. And may you who have created us and the animals of the earth continue to protect and sustain us all, now and forever. And may our stewardship, may our caretaking of all the earth increase and be pleasing in your sight. We thank you for the gift of the earth and for life itself. And to you be glory now and forever. For it is in you that we and all living creatures live and move and have our being. Amen.